turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll start right there. And take a look, just one verse. We're going to look at several verses that seem to be saying the same thing. And then I'll explain why we're looking at these. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Now look at that again. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Now, where he says to stand fast in the faith, that word "stand fast" means to be immovable, is one way to put it. And to continue doing what you know what you're supposed to do. Stand fast, don't quit, don't give up, keep going forward, etc., and so forth. And then when he says, "quit you like men," that's very King Jamesy. And what that means is, don't give up. So why do they use the word "quit"? Very King Jamesy, okay? "Quit you like men." It doesn't mean quit, you know, as you'd think in terms of quit. But it means, you know, be like somebody who is mature. Hang in there. Somebody who's fully grown and developed in the Lord. And be strong. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong." Now look in Philippians chapter 1. Look at one verse here. Verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So he says, stand fast. He says, in one spirit, one mind, striving together. Well, obviously, when you look at this, it's giving the impression of people being unified, people being together, people being, you know, we're in this thing together, so to speak. And he says, again, this phrase, "stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Now turn to chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Stand fast in the Lord. So we're hearing stand fast in the faith and so forth. Stand fast in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. So on and so forth. 2 Thessalonians now, chapter 2, verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions or the teachings which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Now, where he says whether by word or our epistle, he's talking about either by the sermons that we've delivered to you or the letters that we've sent. Okay, so he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." There's that phrase, "stand fast," again, same phrase. "Hold the teachings." Hold on to the teachings. Hold on to those things that we've given to you, which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So now we have seen four times in Scripture where God has made this declaration to stand fast. Well, God through Paul. But he's made this declaration to stand fast, to hold on, don't stop, stay the course, etc., and so forth. And he says in the one place that we're supposed to strive together, stand fast together. Maybe you look at it from that perspective, saying the same thing. And here in this verse, 15, he says, stand fast. Hold the traditions, the teachings, the things you've been taught. Doesn't matter if we taught it to you personally or whether you received it from us in a letter. The things that you've heard from us that you've been taught, hold on to these things. Stand fast. Don't be moved off of those things that you've heard. Okay, now, same book, 2 Thessalonians, same chapter, chapter 2, but back up to verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, this verse 3, I know it's talking about end time prophecy and so forth, but I want you to look at a concept here. He says, let no man deceive you by any means. Well, he's talking about whether or not the Lord has already come. There was a false teaching back then that, you know, things had happened that hadn't happened. And he says, that day won't come except there come a falling away first. Now, this falling away, it doesn't so much imply people who are saying, fooey with Jesus, fooey with salvation, fooey with this born-again stuff, fooey with the Holy Ghost and all this other, you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to live in sin. I mean, it could mean that to the extreme. But what it's implying is people who turn away from what they know. In other words, for the sake of this teaching, okay, we're not talking end-time prophecy, we're using this concept that he presents here in verse 3. So we could say then that the falling away would be the opposite of standing fast, okay? And he says that there's going to come a falling away. Now here's what's interesting. This term falling away, it does not mean a total complete, Jesus get out of my life kind of a thing, although to the extreme it might mean that. What it's meaning is people who get off the path of what they know to be true, what they know to be right. And you can't get off the path if you weren't on the path to begin with. Okay? Now, we're not going to be here very long tonight, but I really want to pass some things on to you, something that the Lord has kind of opened my eyes to here, and it's been a progression of events that's taken place over the last, and I'm going to really stretch it out, 2 years, over the last 2 years. And it's not relative only to this church, but it's relative to the body of Christ, things that I am seeing happen, things I'm witnessing. And I'm seeing these things from personal contact with people, emails, letters, things that I know about somebody in conversations with other people. And I'm not talking gossip, I'm just, you know, in conversations with other people. And here's what's happening. I am witnessing a falling away. I'm seeing it happen right before my very eyes. And I'm not going to give names, and I'm not going to say this church or another church, this state, that state. I'm just going to say Christians, okay? And if it's relative to you, then it's relative to you. If it's not, then it's not. Hopefully, the people that aren't here tonight will get this tape so that they can use this as maybe a for some self-examination to see if it applies to them or not. But I am witnessing this falling away. Well, I kind of didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it for a while. It didn't hit me as to what this really was. I just kind of, okay, well, you know, everybody goes through a funk, I guess. I don't know. And then I began to see more of it happening. And so I sit back and I'm looking, and I'm thinking, you know, this is not typical, because, I mean, I've not been in ministry for decades like some folks have. But in the years that I have been in ministry, and the years that I've been involved in ministry, I'm seeing this. Now, part of it has to do with the fact that I'm more sensitive to some of these things than I used to be, but also part of it has to do with the fact that I'm seeing people do things that I would never have expected them to do. And I'm not talking so much about going back into sin. I am talking about people who are falling away, or they're not standing fast. Now, some folks might think that this falling away has to do with, they just don't love the Lord. Well, if you sit down and you talk with them, they're going to sound like they still love the Lord. That's not the issue. The issue is what's going on in their life. The issue is, you know, what's happening and this falling away thing. Now, let me just kind of give you some very vague-like examples. I'm seeing people begin to get off the path they were once walking. And again, I'm talking now over the last couple of years, I'm seeing this happen. There are people that I used to sit and talk with in one way or another, either in person, on the phone, email, you know, whatever, that I used to communicate with relative to ministry. Their calling, my calling, so on and so forth. And that's not happening anymore. Not from me, but from them. The conversations now are about other things. And the other things can be, you know, family. It could be their job, their business, just, you know, all different kinds of things. But in other words, what's happening is they're getting distracted from where they used to be. People that had been used of God in ministry. Now, I got to be honest with you, I don't know. Well, I know all things, with God, all things are possible, okay? But at this point, I don't know if they're ever going to get back on track or not. And they're not in sin. That's the thing. They are not in sin. And it's not that they quit believing in, like, being at church. They'll tell you, yeah, you know, you should attend church and things like that. And they'll tell you, yeah, you should pray. And they're not turning their backs on the things that they have believed. But what they're doing is, how can I put this in a way that makes sense? They're not doing the things that they believe, if that even makes sense. They, at one time they were on fire for the destiny that God had planned for them. And now that fire is dying down. People that had shared with me callings that they have on their life, now they don't share about the callings anymore. They share about other things. The diligence to the things of God, it's not there, but now the catch is they don't see it. The catch is they think that, you know, everything's the way that it should be. They don't see that anything has changed. And yet, as I'm looking at this from the outside, and again, this isn't just this congregation, I'm seeing this thing happen. Different places. They don't, and if you sit down and talk with them, odds are they're going to tell you that you're wrong. Well, me, if I sit down and talk with them and begin to, like, say, look, you know, something's happened in your life. Well, no, it hasn't. I mean, I still love the Lord. We're not questioning that. Let's think about what is the scope of your life at this point in time. It's your business. It's your money. It's your job. It's this thing over here, or it's that thing. It's the kids. It's the, you know, whatever. It's what you believe that you're supposed to do. And here's the amazing thing about it. If you ask them, are you doing what God wants you to do right now? They're going to tell you yes. It's because they can't see the trees for the forest, or the forest for the trees, or whichever, you know, it's supposed to be. They don't see that what they're doing is messing them up. And some of these folks that I've come in contact with, I am really concerned. They're not going to turn their backs on God. I don't believe that. They're not going to, you know, go back into the bars or back into this or that, whatever they used to do. They're not going to do that. What they're going to do is just dwell in this land of mediocrity until the Lord comes back. And they're going to go to heaven. That's not the question. But between now and then, they've gotten derailed. And the reason that they've gotten derailed is because there were things that started out as the right things to do, but it began to... Let me see if this will make sense. Give an illustration here. How many of you know that you take a screwdriver, flathead screwdriver, and you begin screwing a screw? Now, when that thing gets tight, you're supposed to stop, right? But what if you kept trying to screw it in? You're going to strip the head off that screw, are you not? Now try and get it out. So you know what I'm talking about? You ever done that before? Is that not frustrating? Especially when you buy screws that you think are good screws and you start to use them and you find out they're made out of aluminum or some cheap something that just, you know, begins bending and twisting at the first turn. Okay, what's happening is they started off doing the right things, but they kept turning the screwdriver. And they got one step. It's like God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this right here. I want you to do number one. And they say, okay, I'll do number one. But in their minds, they start thinking, well, if number one's good, then number two must be double good. And number three must be triple good. And number four must be quadruple good. And they end up out there doing things that they really believe God wants them to do, but they missed him. And he's still standing over here, waiting for them to get back. And it isn't that they never pray. It isn't that they never read their Bible. In fact, I was praying the other day. I was praying once about some things that had come up, you know, concerning somebody. And I was praying, you know, God, you know, let them see what you see and that kind of a thing, and you know, speak to them and all, you know, help them to understand it and all that kind of stuff. And God said I did. And they're rejecting what I'm showing them. He said I did, and they know it. But they're rejecting what I'm showing them. And one of the reasons they reject it is because they have begun to confuse God's voice with their own and their voice with God's. And so some things that they end up doing, to them, they honestly believe that this is the right thing to do. Let me give you a scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, a verse, you know, we've looked at so many different times. I'll just point it out to you again. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought. Okay, so, Joe, why are you doing this? Well, because, you know, it's the thing God wants me to do right now. Everybody tells you it's what God wants. You ever know? Everybody. I don't care what it is. God, they'll tell you this is what God told me to do. I got this from God. I really sense this is the leading of the Lord, so on and so forth. Well, Joe, why are you doing this? Well, because, you know, I believe this is the direction that God's leading me. Okay. Did you take this thought, the thought to do this thing that you're doing, did you take that thought, bring it into captivity, and present it to God and ask him, God, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Is this it? Or is this an imagination that needs to be cast down? Which is it? Because when people want to do something bad enough, what happens is the desire to do that thing becomes a false peace in their heart. And they end up doing it, and God will try to correct them. But they will stifle or cast down his words in favor of what they believe they're supposed to do. And I can tell you right now, one of the biggest traps has to do with things of money. Because Christians, too many times, have this mindset that if it's going to cause me to have increase, it can't be anything but God. Well, you know, if that's the way you think about it, then what you really need to do is contact a few Colombians and go into the cocaine business. As you really increase. Well, here we have believers. And the reason I'm sharing this with you tonight is because I am seeing this thing increase. I'm seeing more and more people get pulled into this. And there have been times where I prayed, and on the inside, I know what they're doing, I see what's happening, and I know what they should be doing, but I also, it's as though I can see the wall that's built on the inside, and I know that no matter what I say, it's not going to be received. I could call them, I could send them an email, I could go to their house, I could, if it were somebody here, I could, you know, talk to them one-on-one here, whatever it would be. They're not going to receive it. because they're firmly convinced that what they're doing lines up with what God wants. And this kind of thing doesn't happen overnight. It is a progression of events. It takes place over time. And it's going to hit you in the area, it hits people in the area of their emotions. And it's not always negative emotions. Many times, and well, I won't go as far as to say all the time, but I'll just say many times. It's in positive emotions. You're going to feel good about the choices that you're making. And it's not choices to sin. It's choices to, you know, just, okay, let's just use here as an example. Look around this room. Just look around this room. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody who's not here. Don't misunderstand me. But I think you know what I'm trying to get across here. And I'm just going to tell you this much. There are people in this congregation that fit into this thing. And obviously, it's not everybody, thank God, but there are people here that do this. And I just want to say to those who fit into this thing, a lot of, you know, you're making some choices that you honestly believe are of God, and they're not. And your emotions are overriding your good judgment, and you have gotten off track, and you have gotten away from the direction that God was once leading you. And your ministry is now not the focus, your calling. It's not that you don't love Jesus anymore. You still love the Lord, and you've just gotten distracted. Imaginations have exalted themselves. And the bad thing is, there are people that I have seen over the last couple of years, here or otherwise, that I knew were on track for promotion by God. I knew, I could see it. I saw that they were on track to be promoted by God further into their ministry. And then the things, the imaginations, that they honestly believe, this is God leading me, and I just, I feel good about this, and I'm at peace about this, and so forth. You know what? Sooner or later, some way, somehow, those decisions are going to come back and bite you. And it's not going to feel good. And what's even worse is when the people can't, or they'll make a comment like, well, I don't understand how I missed it. Well, are you ready yet to hear anything? Are you ready yet for somebody to speak into your life? Remember, I talked about striving together? When these folks get off track and when they stop pressing toward the mark, they no longer are able to strive together with us as we continue to go forward. And they actually can be a hindrance to what God wants to do. Now, it doesn't mean that we let them stop them. Well, you could. You could let them stop you. You could let them hinder you. You could let them hold you back. But what we don't do is make the choice to allow that to happen. What we do is make a choice to keep going forward on our own and to avoid being pulled into the same thing. You say, well, how can I know? How can I know? Another way to put this for people who pray in the Spirit, some people have hit some major impasses. Major impasses. And impasses are your emotional responses to circumstances. And the circumstances, I mean, tonight we could probably each name 150 different kinds of circumstances. I have this huge list of different things that could happen in a person's life that could impact those emotions. It's how you respond to something, okay? And you pray yourself to a point to where something in you needs to be purged, but you allow the things around you to impact you, and your emotions now begin to get clouded. And the easiest way to deal with it is to go a different direction. And there are some people that I know of, and again, no names or anything, but there's some people that I know of that have really hit some impasses, and the sad thing, and I mean it's almost heartbreaking, they don't see it. They just don't see it. And some of the folks over the past 2 years that I've seen this happen to if I were to sit down with them, and again, whether in here or someplace else, just people I've come across, if I were to sit down with them to have a heart-to-heart, I would probably get my head bitten off and be chastised and be corrected and be told how wrong I was and how much I'm not hearing God and so on and so forth, and it might be done in love. And then you just have to go on. Now, here's what I'm getting to tonight in all of this. The moral of the story, whatever you do, don't stop your praying, prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Don't stop. And the first time that you feel a little twinge on the inside that maybe what you're doing is not the right thing before God, call a timeout and pray about it. Take that thought to God and ask Him, is this you or is this me? What is going on? And if you would like an objective opinion, come and talk to me. That doesn't mean I'm going, I don't know everything, but I'll listen to you and I'll pray with you. And if the Lord gives me something and you give me permission to speak bluntly into your life, promising me that you're not going to lash out, then I'll tell you what I'm sensing on the inside. Because this is why I don't make all my decisions on my own. Every now and then I'll talk to somebody. I'm not an island unto myself. I know I have God, but I also sometimes want to hear what somebody else has to say. God speaks through people to me too. And for everyone hearing this message, those of you listening, you know, by tape and all this other, don't let yourself get distracted with imaginations that will pull you off the path of the direction that God wants you to go. Don't let it happen. Because if you do, it's going to start to have an impact on every area of your life. Somehow, some way, it'll start to have an impact. It will slow you down. It will anchor you in position. And you will not go forward with God, even though you might think you're still going forward with God. Don't miss your promotion. Don't miss what God's trying to do in your life. Don't get on the emotional bandwagon of feeling sorry for yourself or letting your emotions guide the direction that you take. You stay in God's presence. Stay in God's presence and let Him speak to you. And listen to what He says. Don't get derailed. Don't get stopped. There is too much at stake. We are getting too close to the end. We have got to finish the course. Hallelujah. We've got to finish it. So, the word tonight is be encouraged. Don't fall into the trap. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep going forward with God.